A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord. Recently, I viewed a documentary entitled Why We Fight. The film traced the history of United States involvement in war from World War I to the present Iraq War. It quoted the speeches of U.S. presidents that they gave to rally people behind the country's entry into each war. The scene then moved to person-on-the-street interviews. Ordinary people were asked the question, "Why do we fight?" Most consistently, at least in the beginning, people answered, "We fight for freedom," or "to preserve our way of life." As the interviews progressed, however, they showed less certainty. Some said they didn't know why we fought. Others said they wished we wouldn't fight. Today's reading from Isaiah expresses not only a wish, but faith-filled hope for a time when we will no longer fight. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they learn war anymore. Every Advent we hear these words, and every Advent we are saddened to realize how far we are from this vision of peace. We are in our fifth year of the war in Iraq. The U.S. is now engaged in verbal saber-rattling with Iran. Instability in Pakistan leads people to fear that rogue nations might get control of that country's nuclear weapons. Other conflicts in Israel, Darfur, and Burma hardly make a blip on the radar screen of our attention. It is all too much for us to take in. There is war all around us. And we find ourselves torn between deep discouragement and the temptation to numb ourselves to these difficult realities. If it's any consolation, Isaiah's prophecy of future peace arose in similarly discouraging circumstances. Israel and Judah and other nearby nations were tangled in a web of self-serving political alliances and shifting military conflicts. What Isaiah prophesied was not at all visible to people who heard him. It was a vision of future possibilities given by God to stir the people to hope. That is always the way to peace, whether among nations or in families, the church, or personal relationships. In the midst of conflict and struggle, someone gives voice to a dream wholly different from what they see happening. If enough people are captivated by the dream, they can begin to believe in the possibility of peace and reconciliation and the harmony that God has always intended for us. We Christians know that Christ has already come in the flesh. Yet because there is a not yet dimension to the reign of God among us, Christians cling to the hope that Christ will still break forth in ways we haven't yet imagined. We look for signs of grace, even as we contribute our efforts to making justice and peace a reality. Each year, our celebration of Christ's appearing as Prince of Peace is preceded by an advent of watchful waiting. Yet our waiting is not passive. We know that Christ is in our midst, and we wait for the full flowering of his gift of salvation in the world. It is all connected, the birth of Christ among us and our longing for the fullness of peace. We seek opportunities to be reconciled in relationships that are conflicted. We approach the sacrament of penance to be healed of our selfishness and our desire to dominate others. We promote nonviolent solutions to national and international disputes. In all these things, we trust in God's power to make the world whole. This trust allows us to proclaim with confidence, Christ has come, Christ is with us, Christ will come again.